All right. 115. 8a. Hey. Epithemia. Sila busa. Tikte. Amartion. Hey. Day. Amartia. Apol telis theste. Apokane kue. Thonaton. As we study, you'll learn how to pronounce Greek. Have you had any Greek, brother?
I just studied a little bit. I know most of the smaller letters and the sounds they make.
Okay. Well, most of the grammars that they wrote are written incorrectly, so you're going to see that I'm doing things a little bit different than they are, because most of them are written by Germans, and Germans try to make Greek German.
The book I studied from was how to, you know, learn New Testament Greek in 30 minutes a day.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, you will learn it here by doing it. If you stay in the class for 2 or 3 years, you will be able to use Greek. You'll be able to take a New Testament and read it. And if you stay longer than that, you'll get better at it, because what we teach is Greek reading and research like they would for their doctorates. They used to, Doctor of Bible Languages, that's what we're teaching. They would teach 3 years of this class. You had to have this in the classroom. I'd had 9 years of Greek in class and 6 years of Hebrew. And I just couldn't lay it down, because I had a fantastic teacher and I just wanted to stay, and I wore him out.
Did you get your doctorate in
Bible languages? Bible languages.
Yeah.
And THD. Double.
Where at?
In Bellflower, California. Okay. In a little seminary down there. We had a fantastic bunch of teachers down there at that time. I think some of the best teachers in the world. You can go to the website and hear some of them. DiscoverTheWord.com. And I'll give you one. You can see it right on the bottom of that website there, on that card. Well, let's look at some of this. This is a fantastic verse. It talks about sin. All right? And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the word hamartia tonight. It's not going to be anything like any that you've heard from any pulpit, because they did it wrong. As simple as that. They brought it from Greek, or from Hebrew, instead of Greek. And the equivalent is not hamartia. They don't have one in the Greek language. All right? Eta. Then. All right? Little word. Then. And it just calls for something else. Then the epithemia. Now, hey, epithemia. The lust, the craving, the burning desire. All right? Make sure that thing is up. I thought I heard something over there. I'm having so much trouble with these machines, maybe one of them will work. The burning desire, the lust, the craving. That's what the word epithemia means. It means to hold upon the mind. The last part of that, we get a word thermos from it. And that holds in heat or holds in cold, doesn't it? Whatever a thermos is supposed to do. This goes back to verse number 14. And what did verse number 14 tell us last week? Each one is tempted by his own what? Epithemios. By his own lust. That's built in, isn't it? It's right there. It comes with the Adamic nature. We looked at the word kakos. Remember what kakos was? Remember those kakos? And there are some other words for bad in Greek. Kakos means the Adamic bad. All right? And phonario, that one there is practiced evil. Kakos is that evil, that bad, which comes with the Adamic nature. All right? Well, all of that is in this epithemia. This is lust. And it talks about in the last few verses, the will of man. Will. That will is in your mind, isn't it? Now, it says the lust, having been aborted. All right? Having been aborted. This word abortion, right? Sila busa, it Well, it conceived is what it means. This word conceived here. Having conceived, and the idea here is like a woman conceiving from a man. A new entity is begun. All right? I jumped ahead of myself with the abortion business. Having conceived, it bears, tikte, it bears sin. All right? It births. The word birth there, we get the idea of a born son out of that word tikte there. All right? A born son. It delivers, it brings forth. It brings forth sin. Sin. Now, what does the word sin mean? Sin. Well, what do you hear preachers usually say about the word hamartia? Come on, somebody's bound to have heard it.
The word what?
The word hamartia. What does it mean? What do they usually say it means?
Outbound.
No, that's what it means.
That's what it does mean.
That's what it does mean. She's got it right. They usually says it missed the mark. It means to miss the mark. Okay, chafal in Hebrew means that. And some of the lexicons cross-reference chata in the Greek as hamartia. And this other word in Hebrew does mean to miss the mark, but it does not mean, hamartia does not mean that. And you'll hear that, and they'll say, I told one preacher one time, big shot preacher, he says, well, brother, that's what it says in the lexicons. I said, the lexicons are wrong. Go look at the Hebrew, and then look at the Greek. Study for yourself the etymology of that word, and you will not find to miss the mark. It means to go out of bounds. It has the idea of floodwaters. What does a river do? Well, a river guides water. A river guides water. There is a channel down there that guides water. When there's a flood, what does that happen? The river banks are overflown. All right? And this word means to go out of bounds. It's Latin, I believe it is, amario. It means to go out of bounds. And the idea of going out of bounds is going out of bounds and destroying. Now, God has a plan for our lives, and it is a walk, a Christian walk. The Native American, the Lakota people, used to say that a person needed to walk the red road. The red road is what they would call it. And they had a sweat lodge, and you would face, the road would face going east into the sweat lodge. They'd go in there and they'd listen for the voice of God and God's guidance for their lives. And they'd walk this red road. And as they go down the red road, they'd leave all of themselves behind and say, Lord, I'm listening to you. You know what? We got a better guidance than that system. We got a better guidance system than that. We got the inspired Word of God. We've got the real thing. Now, we need to walk that road that God fusses. When we go out of bounds, what happens? We hurt ourselves, don't we? Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. And Jesus really bore a lot on that in his ministry, didn't he? He talked about that. Why? What do these things do with your life? They complicate your life. They really cause you problems, don't they? Every one of them. Thou shalt not covet. What do you do when you covet, brother?
No, miss the mark. Out of bounds in theology does not really mean the same thing.
There's a word in the Hebrew for to miss the mark, which is sin. But this word in the New Testament, hamartia, is not equivalent to that. This one means to go out of bounds. This one goes beyond. Peripatio is another word in Greek for trespasses. It is closely related to that. That shows the action of walking beside, outside of the trail. This one has the idea of a river or a channel or a canal overflowing and cause destruction. We go out of boundary. And God has a boundary for us to live in. Jesus Christ walked that boundary and walked that road. We know what it is, don't we? We have it in the Ten Commandments. And this is something that's so beautiful. We have the Ten Commandments. Why should we study the law of God? Why should we study it? Has it been nailed to the cross?
Yes.
It's been nailed to the cross. Why should we look at the Sabbath? What was the Sabbath?
It was a time to worship God.
All right, let me look at the word sabbaton. All right, too. The word Sabbath. That word means completion. That means a week. That's what it literally means, a week. Sabbath means a week. It's the end of our completed week. Okay? Sabbath. Israel worshipped God on the Sabbath, and they set aside that day for a day of rest. Who is our Sabbath today? Christ. If anybody worked in the Old Testament, if they worked on the Sabbath, what was to happen to them? They were to be stoned. Because why? It was blasphemy because God rested. God gave them a day of rest. We ought to remember that. Alright, the law of Moses. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not commit perjury. What did all of these sins, what was the penalty for them?
Death.
Alright, death. Death was the penalty. Why should we study the law?
Mirror.
To show us what we've been freed from. That's right. To show us what we've been freed from. Isn't that beautiful? Is there anybody here that lived a life so good that you could walk into the presence of God? That's a joke, isn't it?
Yes.
But there are people in the world today that say that. Lord, move over. Here I come.
Now there's two.
There are people that believe that. There are people, I went to church with people say they hadn't sinned for 30 years. I heard them say that, brother. That's what you call holiness movement.
Exactly.
Brother, we need to remember what we were saved from. What are you saved from? The slavery of sin. Because you're a slave to sin. When God's Spirit comes into your life and you're born again, born from above, you're saved from this sin. From the attraction of sin. Well, not so much the attraction because we're still attracted to it, but from the power of sin. Now it says lust. When you hold something upon your mind, then, now you have to hold it upon your mind. You have to think about this. You know, if you're an alcoholic, I'd stay away from the liquor stores and the bars and stuff. You know, if I was addicted to pornography, I sure wouldn't go down to these places where they have pornography or put on the Playboy channel or something in my television. Because you know what you'd be doing? You're holding that upon your mind. That's the wrong thing to do, isn't it? Well, when you put this on your mind and your will yields to lust, then there's a conception that takes place. A conception. And it bears hamartia. It bears, it conceives, and it brings forth and births sin. And the sin, having matured, fully materialized, it brings forth death. Now this word is an abnormal birth there. Apokeo. This is an abortion. An abortion. Sin sometimes brings forth early death, doesn't it? It does in people's lives. Sin does. I've heard people lived. I'm gonna live hard and die young, and they do sometimes something.
Does this relate to the security of the believer?
What do you mean?
Does this relate to security of the believer? I mean, are we talking about a Christian doing this, or are we talking about someone who has never been saved?
Well, okay. Lost people do this all the time, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, how about a child of God? Now, Paul, James is going to talk about hamartiogenic illness, and he's going to talk about hamartiogenic death. Now, hamartiogenic illness, what does the word hamartia mean? Sin. Alright, sin. Alright. Sin caused illness. Can a person get sick because of sin?
Absolutely.
You can. You can get sick because of sin. Sinning can make you sick. Alright, can sin cause death?
Yes.
Alright. What did Paul said to the Corinthian church, turn them over for the destruction of the flesh. Turn them over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, that your spirit might be freed A child of God that sins makes himself miserable. Your spirit is vexed. There is a guy in the Old Testament, his name was Lot. Remember him? Was there anything in the Old Testament that told you Lot was born again?
No.
You have to go to the New Testament to figure out that Lot was even saved. All right. Now, what did Lot do to his righteous soul? He vexed his righteous soul. All right. Well, did he cause himself a lot of hardship? He sure did. And every time when we sin, we cause our, if we're saved, we cause ourselves vexing. We vex our spirit. We vex the Spirit of God that dwells in us. All right? This child, this sin that is conceived, brings forth death. Romans 6 and 23 says what?
For the wages of sin
is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For the wages of sin is death. This is for you. Cross reference this right over there. Psalm 7 and verse 14. Psalm 7 and verse 14. Psalm 7, 14. Romans 6 and 6 and Colossians 3 and 5. These are all cross references to this verse. This is a very foundational verse in the Bible.
Psalm 7, what? 14.
Psalm 7, 14. Have you got that, brother? Yes.
Behold, he travails with wickedness, and he conceives mischief and brings forth falsehood.
All right. When we fool with sin, we do it to our own detriment, don't we? As a child of God. Now, a person that's lost, they just go out there and just water in it like a hog, and he's just happy like a hog. But you're not going to be happy sinning. God is not going to let you be happy sinning if you've been born again. You're not going to do the things that you did when you were lost. It's not going to happen. And we're going to get into that a little bit later on. All right? 1 in verse 16 now. May. Planaste. Adelphoi, mu, agapetoi. All right. Not, a particle of negation. All right. I think that's on page 268 in the analytical lexicon, if I remember right. Particle of negation. Not ye be led astray. Don't be led astray. We get a word planet from this word. What is a planet? What's the planet? It's a body. All right. What does this body do? If you go out at 8 o'clock every evening and look up in the sky, can you see a certain planet in the same place?
Yeah, no.
Huh? It'll be exactly where it's supposed to be, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Because it has a pathway. It has a road. It has a road. Here we go back to the road with the idea of hamartia. All right. When you stay in the pathway, you stay in the footsteps of Jesus. When you go out of the pathway, You're led astray. Here we have a word to be led astray. Paneste. Third person plural. Present, indicative, active, or passive. Not ye be led astray, brothers. Adelphoi. What does the word adelphoi mean? All right. Brothers. But what is the word delphi? Delphi. Delphi.
Philadelphia.
Womb. Delpha is womb. Delpha is womb. Adelphos or Adelphi, that means from the same womb. All right? They're birthed of God. These are people that are birthed of God. Don't be led astray, born brothers and sisters that have been born. All right? Of me.
You hear that in Philadelphia.
Yeah, Philadelphia. Philo is I love and Delphi. Brotherly love. Love brothers is what Philadelphia means. Love brothers. Philadelphia. Philadelphia.
I always heard Delphos was referring to city. Philos was brotherly love. Therefore, city of brotherly love.
All right.
That's
brotherly, it means Philadelphia means philo, love brothers. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Right.
My wife's name means love.
Delphi, it means womb.
Oh,
Womb. Yeah, womb. All right. Delphi. All right. Delphi means womb, and ah means from the same womb. So that if you're from the same womb, you're a brother or sister, aren't you? That's right. Now, these are real good. This is etymology. I had to dig this out for years, people, so I'm just giving this to you, all right? This took a lot of digging down in the roots, in the root cellar. Brothers of me, belonging to me, genitive singular, first person pronoun, agapetoi. Agapetoi. All right, agapetoi. Now, here's the word that comes from agapeo. This is the word, agapeo. What is that?
Love.
Love. This is divine love. This is godly love. You hear people talk about, there was a guy that wrote a book here a few years ago, words that don't mean what they mean in Greek. And he said the word agape does not, or agapeo does not mean divine love, because it's used also in several other places in the Bible where the Pharisees said they love the praise of men rather than
the praise of God.
Yeah. Now, what is the word agapeo in the New Testament? In New Testament etymology, what does the word agapeo mean? It means something that you will give your life for. You love something enough to sacrifice your life for, to sacrificial love. God so loved the world that he loved the world in that way. And in the New Testament grammar, the word agapeo means divine, godly, sacrificial love. Something you will sacrifice your life for. Okay? That's what it means. All right, beloved ones. Romans 7:7 through 14, 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, Romans 1:27, Ephesians 4 and 4. These are all cross references to this one. All right? Now, 1 and verse 17. Casa. Dosis. Agathe. Kai. Pon. Dorema. Teleon. Anothen. Estin, Kata, Binon, Apo, Tu, Patros, Tone, Photon, Par, Po, Uk, Ina, Para, Lage, A, Tropes, Apo, Skiasma. Boy, this is what a verse here. It's like it's like poetry. It has a rhyme to it in ancient Greek. Every good gift, every good giving, all right? Every giving good, and every gift, all right? Perfect. From above it is, all right? Every good gift is from above, all right? Every good gift is from above. The word agathe there, that means real good. Agathos is where it comes from, and that means real good. Kalos is another word, but that's just common good. This one here is real good. Every divine gift, good gift, and all of this, everything that's perfect, everything that's mature, comes from above. Having come down, all right, or coming down. Coming down, apo to patros, from the Father. All right? Having come down from the Father of lights. Remember John, the third chapter? What's it say about the light and the darkness there? All the way through the Bible, light and darkness. Light is what?
Good.
Darkness is evil. All right? And in the book of Genesis, it says, Barashith bara, in beginnings Elohim, created Elohim, Eth Hashemayim, the heavens, with Haaretz, and the earth, Haaretz, Haya, she became Tuhu Abuhu, formless and void. And then it says darkness was over the whole universe. All right? Back in creation, we see Satan's path in Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. We see God in Genesis 1 and 1 and Genesis 1 and 2. He created the heavens and the earth. And then the earth, she became formless. The translations don't say that, but in Hebrew it says, the earth, she became formless and void. And read that for me. Are you there, brother, in Genesis 1 and 1?
Yeah.
Just read just a few verses. You there, Brother Harold. Look at this for just a minute. Just think about it.
Genesis 1, 1 and 2?
Yeah, 1, 1 and 2. And change it as you go. Translate it correctly. And then we'll go down through here. All right?
Okay, in the beginning.
All right, in beginnings. In beginnings, plural. It's not singular. Yeah. In beginnings. One of the beginnings. In one of the beginnings, God created the heavens and the earth.
Now, my daughter-in-law had a Hebrew with on one side and Greek on the other.
Uh-huh.
I mean, English on the other side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it said, in one of the beginnings. That's how they translated
it. Well, boy, they did it right. I tell you, in one of the beginnings. All right? If even Young's and a lot of them, they will translate the word, that word is a plural. But they don't translate it plural. Why don't they translate it plural like it should be? Because King James tainted it forever. In one of the beginnings, created God the heavens, plural, not heaven, but heavens, plural, and the earth, she became formless and void. Now read on from there, brother.
And from where you left off?
Yeah, right there.
And darkness was over the surface of the deep.
The faces of the deep is what it literally says.
Okay. And the Spirit God.
And now look at this, what it says there. It says Spirit God. Ruach Elohim. All right, Spirit God. Not the Spirit of God, but Spirit God. Holy Spirit is God. All right? That's who He is. When the Holy Spirit conceived Jesus with Mary, God did it. All right? Okay, go on.
Was brooding over the surface of the waters.
Kept on brooding.
Okay.
Kept on brooding over the faces of the waters. All right, go on a little further.
Okay. Then God said, let there be light.
All right. What's it? Okay. Now, let become light. Let light become. And what does it say? And
light.
And there was light, but light became is what it literally says in the English translation from that. You're learning a little bit about Hebrew too? All right. It changed from one state to the other. Why did darkness become over the whole universe? Satan, sin. All right. So when we are children of darkness, what are we?
Children of sin.
John 3. John the third chapter now. John chapter 3. Who's got John chapter 3?
What?
John. Kala Iwana 3. 3 and verse 16, 17, and 18. All right?
God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and that whosoever believeth in Him
shall not perish,
but have everlasting life.
For God
sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved.
Next one.
Don't know that.
All right, that's the one I want.
The light.
Okay.
He was in darkness.
Okay, read that one for me. Read it. Read
it.
That's the one I want. 3:18. Okay, Brother Harold. 3:18. That's the one I want.
All right. 3:18.
Yes.
He who believes in Him is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
All right, go on a little bit further. Were you on 17 or 18?
That was 18.
Oh, 17. Read 17.
For God did not send His Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through Him.
All right, now just read right on. From there on to about 19.
He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment. That the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil.
All right. Men love darkness rather than light. So, what is light and darkness? Darkness comes from God, the Father of lights, Photion. All right?
Well, verse 20 there is interesting also.
Yes.
For everyone who does evil hates the light.
That's right.
And does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed.
That's right. That's right. What do you think bars are dark?
Yeah.
Bar rooms are dark. The word, now I'm going to give you another word here. The word photios in Greek, that is a name. Photios. That name is a name. If I would address somebody with the name photios, I'd say, hey, Photi. I'd say, hi, Photi. In English, the word Frank is Fote. The feminine name for that Frank is Francis, by the way. So there you go. Francis and Frank, that means light. All right, light. Francis and Frank. All right, that's where the light. The light.
And also where we get our word photograph.
Photographs, it comes from photos. All right. Father of lights, with whom not in it. This is really a neat little thing here. This word any, that's in it. All right. For not in it or in him. Not in him. Not in him. Paralage. Alternator. How many of you knows what DC means and AC?
Electrically?
Yeah, electrically.
Yeah. Current.
Alternating current and direct charge. Alternating current goes back and forth like that. DC just goes one way. All right. AC, alternating current. This word means to alternate, to change back and forth. Now, how many of you have seen a sundial? All right. Now, this is drawing a figure of speech of a sundial. What does a sundial do?
Supposedly tells time.
Well, it throws a shadow.
Shows the position.
There's a sundial. You set it. I got one out in my backyard. It's like this, and it's got a thing coming up. And where the sun is, if it's 12 o'clock, it should be shining just like that. And 1 o'clock, it'll be a shadow over there. And all the way around to there, it's not exactly even, because the sun shining on the earth isn't exactly even. But you can even change it for daylight saving time or whatever. You just move it. Okay? And you can set that sundial. This has got the idea of an alternating change. God is immutable, unchangeable, isn't he? He's unchangeable. Well, because he is God, he is unchangeable. All right? That's one of the attributes of God, isn't it? His immutability or unchangeableness. God is God. He's not going to be something else tomorrow. He's always the same. He has standards. He meets those standards. His promises in the Word of God will be kept forever.
Paralogy is not alternating, is what
it means. Alternate. Okay. Not in him alternation. Change or alternation. No change. In God there isn't any change. Or, a little correlative here, tropes. This means turning a shadow. By the way, the book of James is written by whom?
Brother
written
James.
By Jacob. All right, it's written by Jacob. That word James is an English word. It should be the book of Jacob. All right? Jacob was a common name, and this is the name of Jesus' half-brother. All right, Jacob. All right. Jacob, or James, he read. He was well read. At Jesus' table, from what I see from his brothers, the writings in them, they were acquainted with all kinds of literature at that time. They were not mushrooms. They didn't just study one thing. They were. Can you imagine be growing up in the house where Jesus was, Brother Wall? The creator of the heavens and the earth? And how hungry his mind should have been as a perfect human person. You know, he was man and God. But just think about being around him. He could learn everything. And he could know it all. Just think about that.
When he was 12, he confounded the Pharisees.
Yeah, he confounded the Pharisees, and these were the doctors of the day. These were the doctors of theology in his day. He was confounding them because of his brilliance. He read everything that he could get his hand on. He listened to everything. And evidently, James was exposed to this. This is the only way in the workplace in the New Testament where this word is found. One time in the New Testament. Tropes. That's it. One time. One time in the New Testament. The word paralage, one time in the New Testament. So here we have two words in this verse that are not used anyplace else in the New Testament.
Now, why does he suggest that there could be a turning or variation in God?
There isn't.
There isn't, but why does he even bring it up?
To show how stable God is. That his children should be like him. God birthed us, so we ought to be like God. When we make up our mind to follow God, what should we do? We should follow God when we go out of the pathway. And why was James writing this book? He was writing this to a bunch of Hebrew Christians that were a bunch of half-Christians, so-called. They were wishy-washy. He said, straighten up. Go on. They wanted to still go back and do the ceremonies and everything else. And he says, believe in Jesus Christ and Him only. And James was a pastor at the book, or Jacob was a pastor at the church at Jerusalem, wasn't he? And he had a lot of Hebrew Christians to deal with, didn't he? And that was one of the reasons that this book is written. These people, he said, get on the ball here, people. Follow the Lord, because God is unchangeable. There so you be unchangeable. The figure of speech he draws here, para, lage, a, tropes, apos, skiasma, this is the idea of this sundial. When you are doing an operation, they light up the room, don't they? They light it up. Do they want a shadow? All right. Now, I've been closely related to people that are in the movies over the years. I'm a ham operator and an amateur radio operator, and I talk to people, and a lot of them, they're either musicians, and they were sound men on stages. They were also light men, the guy that lights up. I had the best boy and all of those people, you know, that do the movies. Now, under the lights in a movie, there's a lot of heat. They had lots of lights. They would use as much light on a movie set as it would in the city sometimes, a small city. It took so much power to light the scenes. If you've ever seen some old Roy Rogers movie, not only would they have lights out in the daylight, there couldn't be any shadows. You ever look at movies? There aren't any shadows in most movies unless they want a shadow to be there. But most of the time you can see all the way around them. Now that's not natural light, is it? It's not natural. Because there's always shadows and turning. But in God, if God is light, that means everything is lit up around Him, and the sundial's not going to work. Alright? See? We have God. We don't have natural man. We don't have men go one way and the other way and wishy-washy back and forth in their lives. We have God that is stable. When you raise children should see stability in you. You should be true to your beliefs. Always. They should see one person when they look at you, not a triple-faced man. Or a triple-faced woman. There are so many people that have raised children that have made a total wreck out of their lives and their children's lives.
And they should still look at you and your wife and see one person.
That's right.
Hebrews says He is the brightness of His glory.
Yeah. The brightness of Jesus is the brightness of His glory. Well, when our children see us, they should see one purpose. One thing. Because a child, when he is young, when he looks at his mother and father, what does he see? The earliest idea of God. That's right. When you are a teacher in kindergarten, I know you've taught a lot part of your life, Harold. The younger classes, you are really smart to them. When you get up to 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, you're a dummy, brother.
When you get to high school.
Yeah, then you're real dumb. But when you're teaching kindergarten, first, second, third grade, I mean, you are so smart, and they are learning every day, and they respect you.
Also, anything you tell them is absolute.
Yeah, it's absolutes. Well, your child, when they look at you, should see absolutes. When we look at God, we see absolutes, don't we? And our children have all the right in the world to see absolutes in us, don't they? What if you changed every day? What kind of a foundation would you give your children? Yeah, schizophrenia. Multiple personalities.
Like putting concrete on sand.
Yeah. Bouleithes. Bouleithes. Verse number 18. Apuleithes. Come on, guys, girls. Apo Kesen. Himas. Logo. Aletheos. Ace. To. Ene. Himas. Arparkane. Tina. Tone. Alto. Katismaton. Having purposed. This is first verse, participle, passive. Having caused to be purpose. Having caused to be purposed. First aorist, that's really punctiliar action, point, time, in time action. Well, participle is one of them continuing things, but when you put an aorist participle, remember what a participle is. It is a marriage between what? A noun and a verb. It has the properties of a noun and the properties of a verb. All right? That's what a participle is. Okay? Having caused to be purposed, all right, comes from boule. That means to wish or to will. All right? Now, love is God's spiritual activating force. That's what this word boule, or thelon, dilemma sometimes. Thelo. Boule. This is one of the words for mind. There are five words for mind in Greek. We won't go into all of them at this time, but this is one of them. To think something out. To will something. Now, when you will, when you really like sin and you wish it long enough, it becomes a reality, doesn't it? It becomes, it's conceived and bring forth, and then what does sin bring forth? Death. Separation. That word thanatos there, by the way, was separation. Separation. Having purposed, or having caused to be purposed, he brought forth us. He brought forth us. He birthed us. Now here we have the word again, aborted us. Paul said that he was an abortion, didn't he? On the road to Damascus, he said, I was hell-bent for hell, and God aborted me. He caused me, he birthed me out of that track and out of that pathway into born him again. He was born again. All right? Now it says, having a cause to be purposed, he brought us forth. He terminated the death sentence in us. That's what he did. He terminated the death sentence in us. By what? Or in what? In word of truth. Aletheos. Look at that word aletheos. The word, the name Aletheia, or Althea, comes from this word. Althea is usually a woman's name, and it means truth. Her name means truth. Remember, there was faith, hope, and love. Remember? And a lot of people name their daughters faith and hope and love. And here's another one, Aletheia, or Althea, people named. And a long time ago, that was an old name for truth. The girl's name was truth. All right? In word of truth. Now, in God's word is truth, isn't it? That is true. God's word is true. Jesus was out in the wilderness being tested by the devil himself. How many of you ever had the devil himself test you? Well, you might have had one of his helpers. I don't know if the devil ever spent time on anybody like us. The devil went, he was in person testing Jesus. The first Adam was in the perfect paradise of God with everything he needed. The second was out there in the wilderness. And the first thing the old devil did, he says, and he was out there for how long?
40 days,
40 nights without anything. I want to tell you something. You go back in that time. Why did God create animals?
To feed man.
Why did God create animals? For companionship to man. And then man wasn't totally satisfied with them, so he gave him a woman. All right. Now, Bill, if Bill was here, he'd say, boy, he should have stuck with the animals. He's always got something bad to say about women. But animals were created for companionship. All right? That's what they were created for. And then, what did Jesus roam with out there in the wilderness? The wild animals. He was at home with them. He was. Here's their creator out there. communing with those, like Adam was in the garden.
And the millennium,
it'll be that way again. Here we have previews of the millennium right there. In the first garden, Adam was out there. He had the animals, and then he had woman. All right? Woman means what? Ish. Ish is man. Isha is woman. What does woman mean? Out of man. All right. God took man, a woman out of man. Took feminine man out of woman, out of masculine man, and made him woman out of man. All right? Now these animals, they were out there, and then when the second Adam is being tempted out there in the wilderness, he has the companionship of the wild animals. All right? They were the ones that were comforting him. The Lord said that he came unto his own, but his own received him not. He came unto his own creation, and his creation received him. Did the wind obey him?
Yes.
Did the animals obey him? How about that wild donkey that he rode into Jerusalem? Never had been rode before. It obeyed him like a broke donkey. It's like it had been broke. The animals, the animal world obeyed him. That's a little Indian preaching to you, see. But it's some of the old Hebrew ideas there. Just think about that for a while. In word of truth. And then it says, Aisto Ene. All right? For the purpose of. Ace, extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. That little preposition there. Page 119 in the analytical lexicon.
This rascal is now talking to me. I don't know how long he's doing that.
Got a few more minutes. Ace, extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. This word here, it should be for the purpose of, to be. For the purpose of. You can put down because of sometimes. Acts 2.38. Go to Acts 2.38 and let's translate the word ace there in Acts 2.38. All right? Acts 2.38. Acts 2.38. That's right after four Gospels. Right after old John there. Caught Ebony. Acts 2 and verse 38. Let's look at that word. Let's look at this word ace here. All right. Let's look at that. In King James it says, Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, who was the King James Bible made for? King James. Who's King James?
Church of England.
Church of England. What does the Church of England believe about baptism?
Sprinkling.
Well, they believe...
Salvation.
Salvation by baptism. All right? Sprinkling with baptism, and okay. Now, for one thing, we get a little bit of the Church of England here. King James told his boys, his priests that were translating this, he said, don't you dare translate anything that's going to go contrary to the doctrines of the Church of England or I'll kill you. All right? And then they came to this verse here, and they had double problems. Double problems with this. Here we have the word ace in there. We're going to see what the word ace is. And Peter said unto all of them, all of you repent. And from Greek it says, and let each one of you that has repented be dipped. All right? Every one of you dipped. The word baptized, why is the word baptized right there? Why did they change the word baptizo?
They just didn't want to say dipped.
No, they didn't want to say dipped. Why?
Because they didn't dip anybody.
And they said, if we say dip or immersed, they're going to say them Baptists are right. And why was King James written? They had two problems. They had the Baptists to deal with, and they were preaching the Word of God, and then they had the Catholics. And the Catholics didn't let their people read the Bible.
They did Latin.
They did Latin because they couldn't read the Bible. They couldn't read. That was an educated language. And nobody, no common man could read Latin. It all had been in Greek at one time because Greek was the common language of all men. In 300 and something, around 400, Jerome translated the Greek scriptures, and he didn't even do a very good job of that. He just gathered up a bunch of Greek manuscripts and threw them together and did what we call the Latin Vulgate. He took the Bible out of the hands of the people. Baptists kept preaching the Word of God in Greek and Hebrew all the way down through the time. Okay? Real Baptists preach from Greek and Hebrew today, by the way.
Martin Luther, he got it right, though. He said Toffin.
Yeah, Toffin. Toffin.
I don't know. He kept struggling.
Wiener Toffin. He called us Wiener Toffers, too, didn't he?
Yeah, but
Wiener Toffers.
That was a derisive
term. Yes, it was. It wasn't a good term, but that's where we got the term Baptist. Because we dipped. All right? Now, King James says, don't you dare translate that word, dipped. They said, well, what are we going to do? Well, just don't translate it all. Just bring it over into English. Then they won't know what it means. All right? Now, what is the word for sprinkle in Greek? Sprinkle. Come on, what is the word for Greek? If it meant sprinkle, what did it mean?
Rontizo.
Rontizo, thank you. See there? Now, she's sitting in this Greek class long enough. All right. Now, what is the word for pour in Greek? Pour. Pour in Greek. Rontizo is sprinkle. Pour is nipto. All right, thank you. See, nipto. All right.
I've got to write that up here for you so you can look at it. All right. Rontizo. And it's got a rough breather over the front of it. And then nipto. All right, there you go. Rontizo is sprinkle. And this one is pour. All right. And this one is spelled like this. Rontizo and nipto. Can you spell it in English? Nipto and Rontizo. All right.
That's the word. If it meant sprinkle, it would be Rontizo. If it meant pour, it would be nipto. And since it meant to immerse, it was baptizo. But they didn't want to translate it correctly, so they said baptize. There is some truth in here in this verse, if we can get it out from Greek. All right? Peter said unto all of them, all of you repent, and each one of you that has repent, he gets back into a different person. Let those be baptized, every one of you, in the authority of Jesus. Eis aphesim. Eis aphesim. Eis aphesim. In the Septuagint, eis aphesim is the scapegoat. What does the scapegoat do?
That's the one that they crucify for your sin. I mean, they slaughter him for the remission of sin.
Well, they put our sins upon him. All right? They put our sins on him.
Let him go in the desert.
All right. And let him go in the desert. One of them was slaughtered and one of them was turned loose. We're the ones that were turned loose. The one that died was that was Jesus. All right? Now, for or because of the remission of sins. Because our sins have been borne away.
Okay.
That's why we're supposed to be baptized. That's where he said. Because we have received the remission of sins. And then it says you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Well, now the way that it's written here, it kind of leads you to believe that you...
They didn't want to get very far away from him.
In the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That says be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins.
Yeah, that's right. Why do they do that? Because most of the people that are buying that book believe in baptismal salvation. If you find some of them, that's right. Most of the people out in the world, the reason why it says that, the reason why King James said it, because they believe in baptismal regeneration.
Yeah, but this isn't King James.
No, but it... That's going to lean to it. All of them. Baptism or regeneration. All right. Baptists are the only ones, and not even all Baptists. And just because they got Baptist on their name don't mean anything. All right. Most of them aren't even Baptists today. Not even Anabaptists.
So then again, what does the original Greek tell us?
All right. It tells us because we have received the remission of sins, then be baptized. Because we have received them, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, what came upon the church at Pentecost? The church was already there, by the way. The church was called out. All right, the glory of God. All right. Now, every individual in the Old Testament, all the way up to Jesus, was saved and indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God didn't come on people and didn't get in people. He was already in people. What came upon those people there on the day of Pentecost? Go back in the Old Testament. at the tabernacle, after the tabernacle had been built, what did God do? He immersed it
in the Shekinah glory
of His presence. All right? The Shekinah glory of His presence. When Solomon built and had the temple built, what happened to the temple? God immersed it in His Shekinah glory. It was immersed in His glory, baptized in His glory, dipped in His glory, immersed in His glory. Now the church was meeting there, had gathered together on the day of Pentecost, and had been with the Lord all the way to... Did the church baptize before the day of Pentecost? Absolutely. Did it have business meetings before the day of Pentecost? All right. Did they have a treasurer?
Yeah.
Oh, did they have a clerk? All these things the church had before the day of Pentecost. Church didn't begin there. The church was there. All right? A lot of people given birth to the church on the day of Pentecost. But the day of Pentecost, the church was there. What happened to the church on the day of Pentecost?
They got fire.
They got baptized. What did John say? He shall baptize you, what? With fire. All right. What did it look like? All these people there, the church members. It looks like tongues of fire were setting on every one of them. They had the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's what you get in the church. Why do Baptists believe in all the foundational doctrines of the Bible, and we are all the ones that believe in them? Because we have the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Where were the gifts of the Holy Spirit? I guarantee you, out in the world today, it wouldn't be the Pentecostals that had the gift of tongues or whatever. It would be Baptists. Because the Shekinah glory of God is still in Baptist churches today, if they're true. We have those gifts today. Not tongues and all that stuff, but we have what gifts today?
Sure.
Faith, hope, and love. And the gift of the Holy Spirit helping us to discern what is right and wrong with His Word. That's what it is. All right. Well, I'm going to quit you tonight. That's about it. To be the first fruits peculiar of Him creation. We are His peculiar creation. We'll start with that next week.
What chapter,
Dan? 1 and verse 18.
Uh-huh. We'll start with from the beginning.
1 and verse 18. We're going to start with 1 and 18 next week.
We didn't cover it as much as I wanted to, but we'll run over.
So we're going to quit right there. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'll turn you loose on the world and go out and do something eternal. All right?